You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
4A Tuesday edition of the show. We welcome you in from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. It is the Gym Class taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here in Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM, both in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And got a great show for you coming up today. Adam Rittenberg, who, of course, does a tremendous job for ESPN.com, college football senior writer, will be joining us. We will talk about the college football playoff, look ahead to the first round games coming up this weekend, talk a little Iowa and Iowa State with Adam. That'll be coming up in just a couple of moments. KJ Pilcher will join us in the back half of the program, and we'll take a look at some high school wrestling, some college wrestling as well, and more on a busy Sports Tuesday here or in Eastern Iowa and around the country. 319-366-1600. That is a text line for you. 319-366-1600. Phone line as well. 319-366-1600. And, I almost got through that without laughing because I was reading the text line there, and Cyclone Tim's first text of the day was a doozy. That's a good one to start off with here today. Mark Dukes, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, Scott. Good afternoon to you guys and everyone out there. And I, too, read the text. And Cyclone Tim, not looking forward to a particular game tonight.
That would be a game that you can hear right here on 1600 ESPN. It will be women's college basketball, the Iowa State Cyclones in action as Iowa State will take on the UConn Huskies. And of course, a big thanks to Lisa Nolan Realtor for helping us out with that. LisaNolanRealtor.com is the website, the Cardinal sponsor for Iowa State men's and women's basketball, as well as football throughout the 2024-2025 season. And yes, it is Iowa State and Gino Auriemma and the UConn Huskies coming up this evening for you. We'll have it at 7 o'clock. 7:30 is the tip-off coming up this evening. Hey, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right, Mark? And Cyclone fans, and who knows? Maybe it's not out of the realm of possibility that an upset could happen.
Well, that's never the case in sports, or always the case, whatever way you look at it. And you can't really fault Iowa State for dodging. You know, there's been some so-called cupcakes on the schedule, but when you play the two-time defending national champion, South Carolina Gamecocks, and UConn, when that's in your non-conference slate, you're not dodging much of anybody.
Technically, this is not a UConn home game. it is not in stores. It is not in Hartford. It is at the home of the Connecticut Sun of the WNBA. It's at the Mohegan Sun Arena in Uncasville, Connecticut, is where they are playing that game coming up this evening. So 7 o'clock with the pregame, 7:30 with the tip-off right here on 1600 ESPN. Cyclone Tim, just so folks can also get a chuckle, said he thinks he would rather go to the dentist than watch what UConn is going to do against my Cyclones tonight. You never know. You never, ever know. That's the fun of sports. We kind of knew what your Bears were going to do last night, Mark. I'm sorry to say, but Vikings go to 12-2. That'll make Cyclone Tim happy. We'll say nice things about the Vikings and their pristine white uniforms that they had out last night. But as soon as the Bears, hey, you know what? Great job by the Bears to go for it on their first drive of the ball game, but didn't get it, and then basically handed the lead to the Vikings, and it kind of took an ugly turn from there.
not a surprising outcome in the least. And I said yesterday I'd probably be looking to see what's on Food Network pretty early in that game. And that, you know, I perhaps Iowa State women have a better chance of beating UConn than Chicago did last night against Minnesota. I think that's a stretch, but the Bears are what they are. They're going to do what people in Chicago do. Wait till next year.
Seems to be a battle cry in Chicago, isn't it? No matter what team it is, just wait till next year. We're going to talk to Adam Rittenberg coming up here in just a couple of moments. 319-366-1600 is the text line available to you. We'll get you an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update as well coming up in just a little bit. Not only Iowa State women's basketball tonight, Mark, but if you are a fan, you and I are, you and me are both fans. We got this year's version of the match in golf tonight. It is not celebrities. It is professional golfers. And there's a little bit more on the line, I think, in this one here this evening, Mark, as it will be arguably the top two players, two of the top three players on the PGA Tour, I would say, going up against arguably the top two players on the LIV Tour for a head-to-head battle coming up tonight in golf.
Yeah, it's called the Showdown, and I'm going to tune in. It begins at 5 o'clock, I believe. Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler against Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. Of course, it's a made-for-TV type thing, but I enjoy these. I enjoy the bantering between the players. They don't take it all too seriously, although they might tonight. It's they play three different formats within the 18 holes: best shot, best ball, and then singles. Every six holes, they switch it up. So, yeah, it's a made-for-TV thing, but something to take in maybe before you take in the UConn-Iowa State game. I actually thought, in terms of matchups, you were going to that Cedar Falls Kennedy boys matchup at Cedar Falls.
Well, that's going to be a good one too.
Yeah,
that's going to be a good one as well. But no, I was talking about LIV versus the PGA Tour, and and golf is fickle like anything. We know that. You can have good days, you can have bad days, but I guarantee you, members of the PGA Tour want to see Rory and Scotty take down the two guys from the LIV Tour and vice versa. There is no doubt in my mind about that.
Yeah, even though the format is what it is, it's not the U.S. Open or the Masters or any, you know, Ryder Cup, President's Cup type competition. It's sort of a friendly thing, again, made for TV. But there is that aspect of it that's why they made this match, right?
Right. And who knows, maybe this will be the impetus to finally get a settlement done and to put – listen, you're going to have two tours in golf. We know that. That's the way it's going to be. I don't see any other way it's going to play out. But to at least find a way and a compromise to get all the best players in the world in the top tournaments in the world. That's what golf fans want to see. That's what golfers want. They haven't. It's been on the table for 2 years now. Who knows? Maybe this will finally do it. We'll see.
I hold my breath on that. I don't think an event type like this is going to push the needle one way or another. They get together occasionally for the majors. LIV players play in majors and whatnot, and that's a far more important competition than tonight.
319-366-1600. So golfers have something to watch coming up this evening as well. So a lot on the table here. We're going to talk to Adam Rittenberg. We're going to get him on the phone coming up to talk a little college football playoff with Adam, who does a terrific job with ESPN. We'll do that coming up. Looking forward to the four games, obviously, coming up this week, Mark. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's our first sojourn down this path of college football playoffs, so who knows what we're going to see.
Yeah, it gets started Friday night, and we're going to pick all four games on the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 on Friday, but Indiana-Notre Dame is maybe the most intriguing game for me. And, you know, there is a matter of these teams having a bunch of time off, at least some of them. Some of them participated in conference championship games, but Indiana and Notre Dame did not. They've had some time off to get ready for this game. And, you know, is it going to be a lot of the lines this week are a touchdown or more? So is it going to be chalk or are we going to see a surprise? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Like you said, there's been a lot of time off, so we will see how it is going to work Friday and Saturday. Cyclone Tim says, will Brooks beat the snot out of Bryson or the other way around? I wouldn't think that two guys that are teammates are going to take it out on one another, but you never know. You never know. It is golf. Football coming up Friday and Saturday. We got the games for you right here on 1600 ESPN. And to talk about that and all things college football, our friend Adam Rittenberg from ESPN, kind enough to join us on a Tuesday here in Eastern Iowa. And happy holidays, Adam. What did you ever think in the world of college football we'd have a 12-team playoff and Bill Belichick coaching at North Carolina?
Yeah, probably not the second one. It's an interesting time indeed, but an exciting one. I mean, think about the coaches that have come into the sport lately with Deion Sanders and Bill Belichick, and who knows who else is right around the corner. But obviously the big story, you know, being the college football playoff, and I've really been looking forward to this round, guys. Just thinking about, you know, why we all love the sport. It's, you know, all due respect to the bowl games and, you know, some of those NFL sites that hold championships, but that's not where we all got into the sport. It was being on campus. It was being at these stadiums. And we're going to have four great ones that are hosting games Friday and Saturday. So this round, maybe more than any other, I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, Adam, before we get into the games themselves and the format and whatnot, I wanted to ask you about Belichick, not necessarily the hiring of him by North Carolina, but some of the things he had to say in terms of, in generalities, that being a head football coach, there's a lot more to it these days. And North Carolina's hired a GM. And just to refresh my own memory, I looked at Iowa's staff. It has a GM. It has a chief of staff. It has about two dozen support personnel apart from those people that are on the field. So I guess it's not a new concept by Belichick, but probably see more of it. You get around. What's the staffing and the composition of staffs look like these days, and what will it be?
Yeah, so Mark, you know, the evolution has really happened, I would say, in the last, you know, 6 to 7 years. Initially, it was the analyst role where you saw Alabama and others, you know, loading up on analysts who could be, you know, coaches that are out of work or, you know, some pretty prominent guys have been analysts. And then now it's expanded more so on the personnel side with the transfer portal and, you know, NIL and just a lot more player movement. You know, from year to year, you know, you need a staff that's able to handle that. And, you know, general managers have popped up over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, pretty much every program has one or somebody that's in a similar role. And that person, you know, kind of oversees personnel, works very closely with the head coach. I mean, they're very, very important. You guys remember for years how we would hear about the strength coach, you know, being maybe the second most important person in a program. I know that was the case at Iowa for a long time with Chris Doyle, but other strength coaches, because they spent so much time with the players. I think now the general manager has elevated in importance, you know, probably to be one of the top five most important people in any program. So it is a very important hire, and it was part of the process, obviously, with Belichick coming in. And that's one thing he shouldn't really adjust to, because it's similar in the NFL. They all have general managers. I would just say that the reporting structure is a little different at the college level, because everybody in the program is working for the head coach, including the general manager, whereas obviously the NFL, it's a different structure there in terms of importance.
Before we look at the games, Adam, just the process of selecting the 12 teams for the college football playoff. The committee this year, if you made the conference championship game, you were golden. CSMU, as far as that is concerned, with people in Tuscaloosa still a little angry about that. But I know you guys have written about it. You've had time to think about it now. Do you think they got it right with the I guess we'll find out if it's the best 12 teams, right?
We will, Scott, but I also think that you don't expand the playoff to leave a team like SMU out and necessarily put a team like Alabama in. I think people get way too caught up with best 12 or best four. But when you get beyond, I think, four, and you have an expanded system that's designed to have more diversity, to have more representation from different leagues, you know, the pathways don't all have to be equal, in my mind. And you could say, well, SMU didn't play Alabama's schedule or South Carolina's schedule. Well, so what? I mean, you have a higher bar, in my mind, to reach in the SEC if you want to get into the playoff. What SMU did was win every single one of its regular season games in conference in its first year in the ACC. And so are you going to penalize them for reaching the ACC championship game when Alabama and South Carolina and Ole Miss, none of them reached the SEC championship game? Because otherwise, evaluate them at 11-1. And to me, that's a team that belongs in the playoffs. So, you know, I think it's something that, you know, conference championships, do we have to de-emphasize those? You know, do you continue with allowing the top four rated conference champions to get a bye, even if they're in leagues that are nowhere near as tough as the Big Ten or the SEC from a weekly basis? You know, those things certainly can be evaluated, but I just don't understand why you would expand a playoff to then leave a team like SMU out in favor of a three-loss, you know, non-conference championship participant from the SEC.
It all starts Friday night, Adam, with Indiana and Notre Dame, maybe my favorite game on the slate of four. And one aspect of this is that each of these teams have had 3 weeks off. And it's kind of like a bowl preparation in some respects. But is that one of the games you really like, or is there another one?
Well, I like that one, Mark, because I'll be there. So I'm hoping that it lives up to your expectations and mine. And
good snow.
I'm really excited, you know. Yeah, a little bit of snow. And, you know, again, I've covered some big games at Notre Dame. I was at the Bush Push game in 2005 and, you know, other big ones over the years, but I don't know if there's ever been a bigger one, at least in terms of national implications. This one's obviously right up there, if not at the top. So very excited to see, you know, how these teams perform. You know, Notre Dame's in finals week, and so that's a little bit different to have to play a game coming off of the end of that. I know that used to be a big concern of the presidents until they realized how much money they would make in the playoff, and suddenly that became less of a concern. So here we are, and you know, two teams that play great defense, you know, two interesting quarterbacks in Riley Leonard and Curtis Rourke, you know, two very different head coaches in, you know, Kurt Cignetti, who's in his early 60s, and Marcus Freeman, who's not even 40 years old. Different parts of their careers. And I hope it delivers, because, you know, that state, as you guys know, is known mostly and always will be known for basketball. But on Friday, it will be a college football state in Indiana.
I like that game, but the game I'm looking at is Tennessee-Ohio State for many reasons. There are so many, you know, tentacles to this. Ryan Day with a lot of pressure on him. The SEC versus the Big Ten. The SEC without Alabama in there. Now Tennessee kind of holding the flag. Hate to say that. Hate to use that term, but I had to throw it out there. And Tennessee going to a cold weather situation to play. I think that's going to be fun Saturday night.
Yeah, careful. That's a felony potentially if you plant a flag in Ohio Stadium eventually. But I'm with you. It should be a fun matchup. And obviously one that it carries tremendous implications, much more for Ohio State than for Tennessee, although it would, you know, further validate the progress that Tennessee's made under Josh Heupel, you know, who's hiring, you know, didn't generate a lot of excitement at the time, but he's done a really nice job with that Tennessee team winning in different ways. They're much more of a defensive-oriented team this year as opposed to being so offensive-centric the last couple of years. But yeah, it's really about Ohio State. How do they respond from, you know, the most disappointing loss of Ryan Day's tenure and the melee and the underachievement, not winning a Big Ten championship or even getting to the Big Ten championship game for a rematch against Oregon? You know, they, as Ryan told me back in 2022, when they were in somewhat of a similar situation, they lost a home game to Michigan. They were favored in that game. The college football playoff provides a new life. And now what are you going to make of it? Can you go out and win a national championship and take some of the pain away? Not all of it, but some of it from losing to Michigan. Or if you lose that game and end the season, you know, with back-to-back home losses, the season will be an abject failure. There's just no way to soften it for a team that was put together to achieve so much more in terms of retaining players that could have gone to the NFL, adding players to the portal, you know, a couple of whom have been, you know, major impact guys like Caleb Downs and Will Howard and Quinshon Judkins. So this is one of the more high pressure situations that you can ever imagine for a head coach and Ryan Day and a team in Ohio State that's used to those expectations, but maybe never more than in this setting coming up on Saturday.
Hey, Adam, I don't know who I really trust among these 12 teams. Maybe perhaps Oregon, but each team you can point at them, and they have a flaw here, a flaw there. So I'm curious who you might trust and who you might think would be a surprise team.
Right, yeah, it's a year, Mark, where there's not, you know, a lot of dominance. But again, Oregon to me, you know, is a team that has the fewest flaws and really can be a complete team if everything is clicking. I know they weren't happy with the way they played defense in the Big Ten championship, and I think a lot of that credit goes to Penn State. Penn State executed well. They had a good game plan against that Duck defense. But, you know, Oregon's a team that's good at the line of scrimmage. They're good on the perimeter, very good at quarterback, very good at running back. Like, there's just nothing that holds them back, whereas all of these other teams, you know, you can poke holes, whether it's Notre Dame's, you know, a mediocre passing game or Ohio State's offensive line issues or Tennessee not playing well away from Neyland Stadium. You know, Penn State wide receiver play has been a bit of an issue, although they perform better in the Big Ten title game. So, you know, again, it's just one of those funny years where we don't have, you know, two or three world beaters or even one that's so far ahead of everyone else. And it lines up to have a very exciting playoff where you can really make a case for a number of teams. I mean, given Georgia's injuries, guys, and the potential for Carson Beck, the quarterback, to be out, I don't know if Penn State or Notre Dame will ever have a better chance to make a run to the national championship game than this year. You know, not being on the same side as Oregon and Texas and Ohio State. I mean, if you're an Irish fan or a Nittany Lion fan, you have to really like your chances. And then on the flip side, SMU, you can make a run, or Boise State or Arizona State. Like, these are all possibilities that are out there for teams because this year has not featured a lot of dominance.
I am really looking forward to Adam Rittberg from ESPN joining us here on KGYM. Really looking forward to see how the teams with a bye will perform with another week off. If they come out rusty and several of them get beat, you're going to hear people clamoring for a 16-team playoff. Whether we want it or not, or should have it or not, they're going to be clamoring for a 16-team playoff.
You know, I think we're going to clamor for that anyway. I mean, yeah, I think if the SEC wins the national championship, you're going to hear Greg Sankey complaining about why they didn't have more teams represented, or there's going to be lobbying for a different setup, bigger, you know, more opportunities. I mean, every playoff system in this country has expanded, including college football, and you know, the likelihood of it getting bigger is certainly there. I don't know if rustiness. I mean, again, it's we're not talking about the old system where you were, you know, Big Ten teams, remember, used to conclude regular season play before Thanksgiving and then not play again until around New Year's or later. I mean, that's a real long layoff. You know, now we're only talking about a matter of weeks. So it'll be interesting to see how some of these teams perform, and again, how some of them handle different stages. You know, Indiana has not been on a stage like this. Notre Dame hasn't either, you could say, but Notre Dame has been in more big stage games those players have, if they've been at Notre Dame for a while, than the Indiana players. So very interested to see how the Hoosiers handle that, and SMU, same with them, and some of these other ones that we're not used to seeing. Arizona State, that you can really go down the list of schools and teams that maybe haven't necessarily played in games like these.
Last one from me, Adam. I'm curious, beyond the playoffs, what's in your crystal ball in the off season, whether it's portal or NIL or something else? James Franklin, who I don't always agree with, frequently do not, belaboring the fact that his backup quarterback left the program to enter the portal because of the window itself more than anything else, I think. But your thoughts on what might be ahead in college football?
Yeah, I don't really know what they can do about that situation, guys, because of the academic calendar and the fact that, you know, schools need to admit new students for the next semester. And unless you're going to move every semester to or quarter system to February when the college football season is over, it's very difficult to push back the opening of the transfer portal. And I think, you know, a guy like Bo Kurula from Penn State, the backup quarterback, you know, he left the program because other quarterbacks are making their decisions now, not necessarily because he wanted to at this point, but he felt like, you know, it's like musical chairs. You want to get a chair before they're all taken up. And they're all getting taken up now. And I just don't know how that changes because of the nature of the academic calendar of, hey, we need to get these guys admitted for the, you know, the winter quarter or the spring semester. And those all start around the country. I mean, you can do simple research. Those all start in January. So I don't really know if there's a workaround to handle, obviously, a very difficult situation in terms of personnel and movement and timing.
Yeah, hey, before we let you go, Adam, I'm kind of surprised that we have not seen, I mean, people are kind of speculating there would be a mass exodus of people sitting out bowl games that were not in the college football playoff. Caleb Johnson, obviously, for Iowa is not going to play, but every one of the Hawks that I know of other than that, Iowa State goes for them as well, Colorado, many other teams, they're going to be pretty much full going to their bowl game. Did that surprise you?
A little bit. And, you know, I was talking to someone at Alabama last week, and they felt pretty good about their situation. Now, you know, you do get often a wave of opt-outs right before the game. So I wouldn't, you know, just assume that everybody's going to play. I think there'll still be some that are notable that we hear about. But no, I think it's great that a number of teams are deciding to stick together. And I mean, even Colorado, where you have, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner, we know that now, and Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, who both could be top 10 picks in the draft. But Deion Sanders making it clear that everyone's going to play in the Alamo Bowl. I mean, that's awesome. That's a great way to end the season, guys on the field, rather than, you know, a bunch of backups and such. So you know, hopefully that holds, Scott, but. I've just seen this in the past where you get a number of the opt-outs being announced, you know, in the days leading up to the game.
Yeah, there'll be a few. There will be a few. But I think Iowa and Iowa State are going to be pretty much intact. Iowa getting ready for Missouri, and Iowa State very disappointed with the way the Big 12 championship game went. But, man, Matt Campbell, first 10-win season for Iowa State in program history, and he got the contract extension. So things are looking good in Ames.
No doubt. You know, really, really good season for Iowa State. I agree with you, disappointing end. But man, to get to the Big 12 championship game is a great accomplishment. And, you know, again, for a team that was really rocked by the gambling scandal last year and had a lot of key players that were out, you know, for them to bounce back is encouraging. And I would say this is an important game for Iowa. And talking to some people in that program, you know, they see this as a pretty disappointing season. They expected to be in that playoff mix, in the Big Ten championship game mix, and they fell a little bit short. And so to be able to end the year with a win against an SEC opponent in a decent bowl game, I think would at least stamp this as a solid season rather than a disappointing one.
Yeah. All right, have fun in South Bend, Adam. Always great to talk with you, and keep up the great work.
Okay, guys, thanks for having me.
You bet. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Mark, before we talk to KJ Pilcher, need to get it to you for An Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock.
Iowa State has extended the contract of men's basketball coach T.J. Otzelberger through the 2032 season, 2032. Iowa softball coach Renee Gillespie, it was announced today, will step aside for the 2025 season due to personal health concerns. The FCS AP All-America team is out. Two former Solon products landed on the second team. They are quarterback Cam Miller, senior at North Dakota State, and linebacker Adam Bach, a senior at South Dakota State. High school junior Blades Brown, great first name for a golfer. He is the number one ranked player in the 2026 class. He announced today he is turning pro. He'll make his PGA Tour debut in January. Blades Brown out of Nashville, Tennessee. And finally, the Iowa High School Athletic Association and the Iowa High School Sports Network have released a joint statement today saying that the agreement between the two will end as of August 1st, 2025, and that championship games will be streamed free until the contract expires. That it's still a paid service for games prior to the championship games.
Yeah, there will be somebody else doing the games for the boys starting next fall for football in 2025. 2026. We'll take a break. Come back. KJ Pilcher will join us. We'll talk some wrestling with you right after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
Throughout our night tonight, a few scattered late snow flurries will be possible, especially along and north of Highway 20. That'll start to progress its way southward as we get a little bit closer towards about midnight. Other than that, temperatures dropping in those middle 20s overnight. Then by tomorrow, more sunshine does return. Winds, however, will be picking up out of the northwest with highs in the lower 30s. Then for your Thursday, our next flipper system will be moving in with clouds creasing throughout the day with chances for a few light snow showers throughout the afternoon and early evening. When all said and done, both these systems should be bringing no more than a few tenths of an inch to the area. I'm meteorologist Garrett Hyde, and that was a check of your latest Iowa's News Now with the first four.
On Christmas morning, much of the attention goes to shiny gifts scattered under the tree. But truly special treasures are often found tucked inside a stocking, and the most memorable come in a Hertine and Stocker box. There are extravagant gifts of diamonds and precious stones, of course, but Hertine and Stocker Jewelers also has fantastic little finds for anyone on your list, like Anya Hayes sterling silver earrings, bracelets, rings, and pendants. The simplicity of design makes them an easy choice, and prices begin at just $29. Or perhaps something from Ticento. This Italian fashion jewelry features the popular, versatile paperclip design at an affordable price in sterling silver and gold plate. When you're looking for memorable stocking stuffers, stop by and see what's shining in those famous frosty windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and say Merry Christmas to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Need a little boost? Nothing beats the rich, smooth taste of Quickstar's Kuruba coffee. Fresh, delicious, and always brewed just right. Now only 79 cents, any size, when you swipe your Quick Rewards card. Pair it with a fresh baked cookie or muffin from the bake sale and level up your day. Quality coffee at an unbeatable price. Stop by, grab a cup, and taste the difference. Only at Quickstar.
In Iowa, farming isn't just a profession. It's a purpose. You can feel it in our 29.9 million acres of farmland. You can see it in the nearly 72,000 Iowans who work in agriculture. You can hear it at our farmers' markets. You can count it in the $159.5 billion it brings our state. And you can taste it at your family's dinner table. A lot of farmers in our state rely on Bayer's tools and inventions because Bayer has a purpose, too, to help farmers thrive. Learn more at go.bayer.com/purpose, paid for by Bayer.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
We are back, 3:39, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Scott, Mark, and Isaac with you here today. And our thanks to Adam Rittenberg from ESPN for joining us, talking about the college football playoff. Just an addendum, Mark, to I just saw this come down the line here for the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard. Sutton Coller, the terrific player from Iowa City Liberty, has just announced his commitment to play football for UNI. So he will be headed up to play for Coach Stepsis up there, the brand new football coach for the Panthers. And speaking of high school sports, KJ Pilcher, kind enough to join us here from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And you can read his stuff online at the Gazette, and does a terrific job, not only with he's the best in wrestling, but also football and baseball and heck, anything out there they ask him to do. How did you enjoy your Saturday of ice instead of wrestling? I know that's bad for wrestlers, having a Saturday of crappy weather.
Right. At first, I thought you were going to ask me if I enjoyed my introduction. I'm like, yeah, I wish I could have you follow me around and say that when I walk into a room. But the check is in the mail for that. Yeah. I was sitting there. I was thinking Friday night. And Saturday morning, when the last time we had something before Christmas get wiped out like that, a whole Saturday, you know, we've had some mild winters, at least before the new year. And usually that third week of January has been the one that's been iced out or snowed out. But yeah, the second week certainly threw a monkey wrench in a lot of people's plans. Luckily, there are a couple Friday night that were able to get in before the weather really started affecting everywhere from central to eastern Iowa. So, you know, I'm sure there are a few guys that are glad not to have to make weight, but I think any wrestling fan, any wrestler, any coach would rather brave the elements than have a big tournament weekend like that canceled.
Well, this weekend, the Battle of Waterloo is certainly front and center, and not everybody's there, but looking at the brackets, it's certainly a who's who once again, KJ.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And this tournament really has, from its inception, they've really turned that in, and that was the goal, to really turn it into a marquee dual tournament. And the organizers up there over the last decade or so really have turned this into an outstanding event just as a whole, even adding the girls division, which will kick things off Thursday. But the boys side of things, Friday and Saturday, you've got some of the top teams in Iowa, which, you know, has been kind of a mainstay in their scheduling over the years. You're looking at the top seeds. You've got Bettendorf, you've got Alburnett, Southeast Polk, which we talked a little bit about last week about 3A kind of being them, and then the field. Kind of turn it into golf lingo for you guys. It's uh-huh. Kind of like when they used to say Tiger versus the field, right? I think that's how 3A is with Southeast Polk. And then you've got Indianola, which is the bracket C top seed. And then you look at the number two. And it's kind of interesting when you think that Alburnett's top seed in the B bracket, but then Don Bosco, the number two seed in the A bracket, in the same bracket as Bettendorf. Those two teams battled in the Dan Gable Donnybrook finished first and third about 2 weeks ago. And then they're going to be battling out in that A bracket on on Friday. Certainly, Bettendorf. If there's anybody that's going to challenge Southeast Polk, Bettendorf's going to be there. We talked, you know, about Alvernette being the top seed, and you know, Alvernette, Don Bosco, 1A powers that are going to be in the mix for duels and traditional state titles, and they're involved. You know, Alvernette, they're sitting in a good spot. Ankeny is the number two team in that bracket, and then you've got Independence, the third seed. You've got Assumption and Nashua Plainfield, the 4 and 5. Alvernette starts off with Cedar Falls. But, you know, watching, I think I was on before Alvernette faced Wilton a week ago. That's, you know, that's a top three battle between 1A teams, and Alvernette handled Wilton pretty good. And they're missing a couple guys, including their state champ, Rowdy Neighbor, who is out for sickness. So Alvernette, even though small school like Don Bosco, they've got a team that can compete dual wise with anybody. And that's probably why, you know, they're the top seed in that bracket and have a really good chance to advance that championship pool, which is always fun Saturday night. And then in, you know, Indianola, Waverly, Shell Rock, that's kind of an interesting 1-2 in the C bracket with Linmar as the number three seed. And Linmar, that's really excited to see, assuming Linmar beats Union and faces Waverly, Shell Rock in the semis. That should be really interesting between those two schools, and we're really we'll get a chance to see Linmar's depth. And then in the D bracket, West Delaware, they're coming off a win at the Southwind Invitational on Friday. They're the number two seed with Southeast Polk. So that's going to be a tough hill for them to climb. But they're coming off a really good performance there at Southwind. I believe they crowned three champions up there. Four champions at Southwind on Friday, one of the few tournaments that got in last week. Had 12 wrestlers place fourth or better and won by about 41 points over Denver. So that tells you a lot about where they're at right now. And one of the interesting things with West Delaware at the Battle of Waterloo, that bracket that West Delaware is in, it's named for their former coach, Jeff Voss. Jeff Voss, one of four coaches, and going into the Battle of Waterloo Hall of Fame, it's kind of a special deal there this weekend because all of the Hall of Fame inductees are connected to Coach Dick Walker, the former Waterloo West grad and a longtime Wartburg wrestling coach. Voss was a wrestler at Wartburg. His son Jake has taken over the West Delaware program, so he's coaching the West Delaware team in the bracket named for his dad. That's pretty neat. Al Frost, the Nashua Plainfield coach, he was a Wartburg assistant for Dick Walker. Tom Hogan, the former Don Bosco wrestler and coach, he wrestled at Wartburg. And then Pat Hogan, Tom Hogan's brother, Pat wrestled at UNI, but he was an assistant coach at Wartburg for Dick Walker. And he's a former Don Bosco wrestler as well. So a lot of ties to Wartburg with his Hall of Fame class and kind of some neat deals with the way the brackets and stuff are set up and named.
Yeah. Other tournaments going on before the break. You'll probably be at North Lynn. Always a good event that the Lynx put on up at Troy Mills.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the better small school tournaments, even though you do have some metro teams in there. Cedar Rapids Xavier, which has been much improved over the last couple of years. I think they won it last year. Looking to, you know, they've got a strong set of wrestlers looking to kind of creep into that those dual rankings, and they've got some good talent. You've got Maquoketa Valley, which has some top-level individuals. Nathan Bites, who had an outstanding football season, they're there. Cedar Rapids Washington is there. Belle Plaine always has a couple really strong wrestlers. You know, you've got Northland, North Fayette Valley, especially with a couple wrestlers there with Cook and German. They're really solid. One thing I'm really interested to see, too, and this is kind of comes off the radar a little bit, Springville is there, and right now they're registered with 14 wrestlers. You know, they had their tournament wiped out last weekend, but Springville has been a school without a team or a shared team with Central City for years. And I think this Springville has only really had their own wrestling team recently for the last few years. And now they've got 14 individuals being able to come in. So they've done some work really to build numbers and build the program, not at a huge competitive level right now, but just the fact of where they started from and where they've gotten to right now. I'm really interested to see kind of how they do and check in with them about the progress with their team up at Northland. You know, some other tournaments this weekend, too, will be fun to keep an eye on. Fort Madison has their annual tournament this weekend. That's always a fun one with some of the teams that go down there. Burlington Notre Dame had a great showing in Independence. They'll be there. Benton Community, I think, has caught a lot of people's attention already this year. Clear Creek Amana, we've talked about Brad Smith being back in the Hopper and with Clear Creek. Cedar Rapids Kennedy will be down there. Hempstead, a strong 3A team, and the MVC will be down there as well. Solon will be down there. Washington, Iowa has a few individuals. So the Fort Madison Invitational, also another one to really kind of look forward to. And Regina holds its tournament as well, and that's kind of a fun one. And then Starmont has the Doug Guilford Invitational named after their Hall of Fame coach this weekend. So a lot of teams are really kind of amping things up here right before the break.
Then you get to eat a little bit.
Well, and that's interesting you mentioned that, because this year, you know, there are new rule changes when it comes to making weight. And a wrestler can go through the whole season without having to make scratch weight with the 2-pound allowance and stuff really kind of kicking in from here on out. So
nice.
It's kind of a different situation where a wrestler can, you know, wrestle 144 all season without actually weighing 144 any time for a competition. So just kind of a little different. I know coaches are a little torn on whether that's a good thing or not, but you know, kind of in coach speak is what it is, right?
Very true. Hey, before we let, go ahead, Mark.
My weight, it didn't matter, KJ.
Same here.
Hey, before we let you go here, how many people have asked you about Teamer?
I would say probably about 8,722.
Figure. And we don't know yet.
No, and that's the thing. You know, before the Uncivil War that Iowa wrestled against Army and Princeton, Terry Brands kind of mentioned, you know, things were more positive than what they seen coming out of the Iowa State duel. And it was, you know, shortly after that, that things seemed to be a little bit brighter, even though he wouldn't really expand on that. My personal guess in, you know, you won't see him at the Soldier Salute here at the end of the month when Iowa gets back on the mat at Extreme Arena the 29th and 30th. I would guess you might, if everything's going well for him and he is healthy or getting healthier, I would say that the soonest you would see him back would be for the Ohio State duel January 25th. And really, to be honest, there'd be no reason to rush him before a duel like that or Penn State.
Yeah.
you know, for his own personal interest and for the team when it comes down to March, because you're really going to need him, a championship contender, I would guess, you know, you kind of be smart like you were with Corey Clark. They handled Corey Clark very, very well, and that turned out that resulted in a national title. I believe his senior year when he had a handful of injuries. I could see them taking the same route, and hopefully it works out as well for Teamer.
All right. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, KJ, and we'll talk to you in January, man.
Merry Christmas. If you guys need any suggestions on Christmas gifts for me, I take a size super awesome. So.
Very good. Thanks, buddy.
Just remember that.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Thank you. KJ Pilcher of the Gazette. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up after this.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Siegel's holiday savings start now. Our entire selection of designer, vintage, estate jewelry, bridal rings, watches, gold, and sterling are at 40 to 70% off retail savings. Tennis bracelets and diamond studs, both laboratory grown and mined, now 50% off. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Located next to Town and Country Shopping Center on First Avenue.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Back with you to wrap things up on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Spencer on Sports next from 4 until 6. Iowa State women's basketball tonight at 7. Iowa State and the Connecticut Huskies tonight. That should be very interesting, and a 7:30 tip-off for that one. Mark, we got some breaking news in the world of Major League Baseball, and it has nothing to do with inning minimums for starting pitchers, thankfully. The Yankees have found their replacement for Juan Soto, Cody Bellinger of the Cubs. No more. He is now a New York Yankee, as the Yankees have traded for the former Dodger and Cub outfielder. Yeah, interesting move. Obviously, Cubs bringing in Kyle Tucker and saying goodbye to Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, Cubs got a starting pitcher, they hope, Cody Poteet, who pitched pretty well for the Yankees in 4 starts. We'll see what he can do with the Cubs.
Yeah, interesting move. Interesting move right there. And as I mentioned, we talked about, there was an interview Rod Manfred did for not even a sports-related podcast in the last couple of days, and did talk about, interestingly enough, starting pitching minimums to get rid of the relievers starting a game. So we'll see if that plays out. What is that, the golden hitter or whatever as well, the golden batter? Man, we don't need these things to happen to baseball. Mark Ironside joins us. Kevin Payne, if you're still in your fantasy football playoffs, I am not. Get those questions ready to go tomorrow for Kevin. Mark, have a great night.
I will. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to The Gym Class, 1600 ESPN.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Tom Kelly's Carbon Fiber Mountain Bike. Because more than riding his carbon fiber mountain bike,